If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. We're going to be in the third chapter today, reading verses 16 through 19. Again, that is the book of Habakkuk, reading verses 16 through 19. While you're turning there, I want to tell you a little bit about one of the greatest people I've got to meet, and that is my mom. She, if you've met her, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't met her, hopefully you will. But throughout my life, she's taught me a lot. My father wasn't around much, so she took the role of being both parents, and she did that well. But of the things that she's taught me, the greatest lesson I've learned from her is who God is and what our response to God should be. And what she taught me was just how good he was, how much he loved me, how much God cared for me, how much God could give me, and how much God wanted me to be with him. And even more so, she praised God the day that I knew him and believed in Jesus. And then she continued to teach me even more about him and how we should respond to him. And so I want to tell a little bit about a story where she taught me really what we should do in response to who God is. And growing up, we didn't have a lot. We didn't get to have the luxuries a lot of people have, but that was okay because we had what we needed. And one day, my mom got a new car from a couple that was heading overseas, and she was excited. She was ready to roll around in the new wheels, and we were actually on our way to church when a car decided to get out of their lane into ours and hit my mom's car. And it did a lot of damage, and we weren't even able to make it to church that night. But I'll never forget what happened, because we got out of the car, and her initial response was to check on the other people to make sure they were okay, and then to check on me to make sure I was okay. And I was a wreck because I knew how much this car meant to us. It was a blessing. It was something we couldn't afford. And all of a sudden it was gone. And I remember the conversation we had, and she said, "Hey, look, I know how crazy this can be. I know how scary this can be, but there's something we need to do, and we need to thank God. Thank God that he kept us safe. Thank God that he gave us this car. Thank God that no one was hurt. And then we need to praise him, because he's still gonna continue to be God, and he's gonna continue to bless us. And he's going to continue to be the same God he was before this wreck and the same God he will be after this wreck." And she continued throughout her life to have instances like this, where whether it was a good day or a bad day, she was praising God. She was rejoicing in who he was. And that is the greatest lesson that I could have learned from her, and the greatest lesson that I hope you will learn. And today we're going to look at a lesson where a prophet in the Bible learned this same truth, that in the good days and in the bad days, our response to God should be one of praise and one of worship and one of rejoicing because of who God is. And nothing that happens on this earth, whether good or bad, can change who God is. And so we must rejoice, and we must learn to love God in the good and the bad. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time to see your truth, to learn more about it. And Lord, as we open up your word, reveal yourself to us and help us to see the story of Habakkuk and his wonder and his concern and his learning of who you are and our response to you. In your name I pray, amen. If you have your Bible, hopefully it's open up now to Habakkuk chapter 3. It is on the screen, maybe a little hard to read, but follow along as I read God's word. And starting in verse 16, God's word says this: "I hear, and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon you, upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments. Now, if you're like me, when you look at this word, you have no idea how to pronounce it. You don't even remember who he is. You're like, I think I've heard of a Habakkuk once or twice, but I don't really understand or know. And if we're honest, you know, this isn't the one that we hear in children's church. It's not a cool story like Jonah in the well or a big fish. It's not a cool story like somebody surviving a fire pit or hungry lions. It's not a crazy story like somebody who persecuted the church and then became one of the greatest missionaries for the church. But it's a story in the Bible, and thus an important one. One where we can learn a lesson, and one where we can learn about who God is. And when we look at Habakkuk, we see a prophet. One who, like most prophets, heard from God, talked with God, experienced God. But one, unlike most prophets, who never really addressed the people in which he was with. All the other prophets in the Bible heard from God, listened to what he had to say, and then went and told the people. In fact, if you're here last week, we saw that Jonah didn't really want to tell what he heard from God, and so he ran away, but then he came back and he told people about God. But in today's book, in Habakkuk, we see that Habakkuk was talking with God and God with Habakkuk, but he never went and told the people. Why? Well, because Habakkuk had a lesson to learn. He was confused, he was angry, he was frustrated, and so he talked with God, and he learned, and he listened. And so when we look at this book, we see something different, but something all the same. That when we are in trouble, when we are confused, when we are worried, we go to God and we listen. And so in the opening verses of Habakkuk, we see that he's troubled by Judah's actions. He was a prophet in the land of Judah, and what he began to see was that people were rapidly walking away from God. They decided not to listen. They decided to do their own thing. They decided to do what was evil in the eyes of God. Violence and wickedness were spreading across the nation. And throughout it, Habakkuk was seeing a similar story that was happening with the people of Israel, the people that were known as God's people. That if history repeats itself, then we see that Israel is going to walk away from God. The people that claim to be the people of God are going to not listen, and then there's going to be judgment, and then there's going to be something crazy that happens, and then everybody follows God again. This is what Habakkuk knew what was going to happen. But he was concerned because the people were being wicked, and they were disobeying God, and they were walking from him, yet there was no judgment. And Habakkuk was afraid. He knew that God was supposed to step in and correct the wickedness of the people, but he wasn't doing that. And so, like we should, Habakkuk went to God in prayer. And he opened up a dialogue with God and asked him, hey, look, the people are being wicked. The people aren't listening to you. And you are supposed to judge them and bring judgment upon them. Why aren't you doing it? And God responded, saying that he was raising up another city, one that was even more wicked than Judah, that was going to come in and destroy the city, and judgment was coming. But Habakkuk was even more confused, because he couldn't quite understand why God would raise even a more wicked city to judge a less wicked city. But what God responded to Habakkuk assured him and assures us that both cities were going to receive the judgment that was due them. And both cities were going to face the wrath of God, but also both cities were going to experience the love of God. And even more, that as verse 2:14 says, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. What Habakkuk was reminded of is that God was in control. Justice was coming, but so too was God's will and God's timing. And that brings us to chapter 3, where Habakkuk produces a prayer and explains all that he learned about God and who God is. And it ends with the response that each one of us should have, a response to trust God and to rejoice in him. So let's look at that response right now. When we look at verse 16, We see God's word says this, "I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quickly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us." Here we see the first response Habakkuk gives to this lesson he's learned from God, and that is one of faith and one of trust. We see that Habakkuk is burdened by the people's choices, but he's also burdened by what is to come to Judah. He sees all that is to come, and his reaction is a trembling of his body. His lip quivers because he knows that destruction is coming. And like history, he knows that that destruction is great. And he doesn't know when it's going to come, and he doesn't know what time it'll be, what day it'll be, what hour it'll be, and this concerns him. He's worried. He's afraid. He sees the evil around him, and he knows what is to come. And here he has a choice to make. He could panic. He could walk away from God. He could run in the other direction because he knows what is to come. But instead, Habakkuk waits. He waits for the day that trouble comes to the people who invade Judah. He waits for the day that God's will comes to pass. In other words, he's going to trust God no matter when that'll be, no matter how long that'll take, no matter what that will bring. He trusts God, and he patiently waits for God to work. How many of you patiently wait for God to work? You know, for me, it's kind of hard to be patient. We live in a time of immediacy. We love to have instant things. We text somebody, and if they don't immediately respond, we start to wonder, do they not like us? Do they hate us? Did I say something that made them mad? Right? We wonder, why are you not responding? When in reality, they probably just responded in their head and thought they responded to you. But nonetheless, we think that we deserve an immediate response. And we see this in everything we do, whether it's an email, a text. For me, I see it a lot in Amazon. When I first discovered Amazon, I thought it was great that I could get on a computer or a phone and I could look up something, and with the click of a button, it'll be in my house. And just a little while, it's created some turmoil with my bank account. But what we see is that Amazon brings us immediacy. And especially when I got Amazon Prime and it could be here in 2 days, my reaction to Amazon went from, hey, this is really cool, I can get whatever I want without having to get in the car, without having to walk to the store, and it'll be delivered to my house. And then Amazon Prime comes, and I'm like, oh, it's even better, it'll be delivered to my house in 2 days. And then you order it, and the second day comes, and it's not there, and you get mad, and you get frustrated. In fact, quite the other week, something was supposed to be at my house in 2 days. It didn't come. And so like at the end of the second day, I'm on the phone with Amazon. I'm like, hey, look, why is it not here? You said it was 2 days. You said it was guaranteed. It's not here. And I'm frustrated. When it was on the way, but it was going to arrive in 3 days. Our culture, our society has taught us to be one that expects immediacy. And when we don't get it, we get frustrated. We get upset. We get angry. And we lose our patience. But God isn't one of immediacy unless his will is one of immediacy. God's timing and God's will occur when God wants it to. And we must be patient and wait for him to work. Whether that's immediate, a day, a week, a year, or a lifetime. Whatever God says is going to happen, but it's going to happen in his time and in his will. And so we must wait, like Habakkuk did. We must be patient, and we must trust that God knows what he is doing. And then furthermore, we see another response from Habakkuk, one of faith and of trust, but also one of rejoicing. As we look at verse 17 and 18, we see God's word says this, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." What we see is that Habakkuk is one that trusts God and waits for him, but he's also one that rejoices in who God is, no matter the circumstance. We see that Habakkuk is talking to God and he is angry and he is frustrated because judgment hasn't come. He thinks he knows what he wants and what should happen, and it's not happening in his time frame. But he trusts and he waits and he rejoices. He brings an analogy to remind himself of this truth that he needs to praise God no matter the circumstance. He talks about the produce at first. If the fig tree doesn't blossom, if the vines have no fruit, if the olive fails and the fields produce nothing, I can praise God. I can rejoice and find joy in God. He then talks about the livestock. If the flock is cut off and there is no herd in the stall, I can rejoice. I can find joy in God because God is in control. In other words, what Habakkuk is telling us and saying is, hey, look, everything can go away. I can have nothing. I can be at the point of starvation, and I still have a reason to find joy in life. And that reason is God and his salvation he provides through Jesus Christ. Nothing in this earth can bring me to the point where I can't find joy, because God is God and God is in control. And Habakkuk rejoices in that, even if things don't go his way. Even if he loses everything, he rejoices. And imagine what would happen in our lives if we had that same attitude. If no matter what happened in our life, we rejoiced, the world would be a different place. Okay, God, I don't know why the world is the way that it is, but I rejoice and I trust you. Make yourself known. What if instead of worrying when times came, we could sit back and see that through a car wreck, God is still in control. Through losing a job, God is still in control. Through losing the ability to pay your bills or get food on the table, God is in control. Imagine if when trouble came, we rejoiced. Not just when something good happens, but even in the bad, we rejoice. But with that being said, imagine if we also continued to rejoice when things were going great, rather than forgetting who God is because everything is fine. Imagine if in the good times too, we rejoiced. We thanked God for everything. We rejoiced because God gave us food to eat. We rejoiced because we have clothes to wear. We rejoiced because we got a new job or a promotion at our old one. We rejoiced because God gave us the blessing of a reliable car. We rejoiced because God is good. What if we rejoiced in every circumstance in life? And whether you find yourself in good times or bad times, I want to challenge you to rejoice like Habakkuk did. Be thankful for all that God has given you. Even if that one thing is just a loaf of bread and some cheese to make a sandwich, rejoice in what God has given. And lastly, we see that Habakkuk not only saw faithfulness and trusting in God as something to be grasped and to do, not only did we see that he rejoices in God, but we see that he finds strength in God. In verse 19, God's word says this, God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. Habakkuk sees the need to trust God, and he sees the need to rejoice in who God is. But he also sees that as he does those things, he receives strength that only God can give. He understands that God is his strength. He understands that as he continues to trust God and continue to rejoice, that rejoicing and that trusting produces strength. So no matter what life brings, you can keep going and he can keep trusting and he can keep rejoicing because he has the strength of God. And we must remind ourselves of that truth as well. As we trust God, as we put our faith in him, as we praise God for what is to come, for what we have or don't have, we find strength to continue in this crazy world. In case you haven't figured it out yet, right? The world is full of sinners and full of people that make bad choices, ourselves included. The world is full of people that aren't going to listen to God and that are going to make mistakes. And because of that, the world is a crazy and a broken place. And it's going to be hard to live life as a Christian, as one who follows God in this crazy world. We're going to need the strength of God to persist in it and to continue to make a dent in this broken world. And if we don't have the strength of God, we never will succeed, because without God, we're doomed to fail. And so we must continue to put our trust in Him. We must continue to rejoice and continue to make God known, because He is in control. And the same God that gives us joy is the same God that can save the broken people in this world. And so as we close today, I want to challenge you to look at these three lessons from Habakkuk, to see that we are called by God to have faith and trust in Him. That in this world, we have a lot of things that will tempt us not to listen to Him. We have a lot of things that will say to ourselves that we can do it better, that we know better. But we must continue to trust God and His timing and His will. We're going to have a lot of good days, and we're going to have a lot of bad days. In both, we must rejoice and praise God. And lastly, in doing so, we receive strength to carry on, to push forward, to fight the fight that God has given us to do, to make Him known, to praise Him, to bring glory to God in all that we do. And what I want you to think about as we close is, where do you fall in this list? Are you trusting God? Do you even know God? Perhaps you're here today and you don't know who He is. Perhaps you're here today and say, hey, look, I would love to trust God. I would love to follow Him, but I don't know who He is. What we see in God's word is that He's the one who saves, that He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for the sins of the world, and that anyone who believes in Jesus Christ will be saved and have life eternal. That your sin, my sin, anyone's sin is not too far gone to keep us from God. There's nothing we can do that isn't able to be forgiven through Jesus Christ on the cross. But we must, like a Christmas gift on the Christmas morning, we must accept it for it to be ours. And so if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know God today, accept that gift that He has given. What the Bible tells us in Romans 10:9 is that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. And today, if you don't know Jesus, trust Him, believe in Him, confess with your mouth that He is Lord, and you will be saved. And if you're here today and you know God, are you at the point where you, through your trust in Him and praise of Him, you're finding strength to continue day after day? Or you're stuck at the beginning where you're like, hey, I don't know if I can trust God. There's just too much going on in my life. Like Habakkuk, go to Him in prayer. Ask God for strength. Ask God to help you. And then put your faith and trust in Him. No matter the circumstance, rejoice. And in so doing, you will find joy and strength to continue on. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for this time to look at Your word and look at the prophet of Habakkuk. Lord, that he didn't know what was going on. He thought he did, but he was confused. He thought in his timing it should happen, but he forgot about Yours. And Lord, he learned a very important truth, that You were in control, and we must trust that and praise You for all that You do in accordance to Your will. And Lord, if there is anyone here that doesn't know You, let today be a start of trusting in You. In Your name I pray, amen. As the instrumentalists play, you'll have the opportunity to respond. Sit there at your seats, come forward. Whatever you may do, think about where you are. Are you trusting God? Are you rejoicing in Him? Are you finding strength through doing so?